So we left off, we're talking a little bit about Bas B'Cholov, but before we get back to our regular Bas B'Cholov, it's already been 2 weeks, I'm not sure we're up to Bas B'Cholov. Before we get back to Bas B'Cholov part, I want to backpedal for a moment to talk about a fascinating shayla that I just got on Friday about Cholov, not the Bas part, just the Cholov part itself. So it's definitely a cashless related issue. So somebody called me that he owns some goats. That in of itself is a whole loaded question, but he happens to own some goats. And they like to milk the goats, you know, they get some good goats, fresh goat's milk. So he said that he had somebody who was working for him. He wasn't on the farm or wherever the store was taking place. He wasn't, the Baal Bas wasn't there. And he had a fellow who was working for him who milked the goats on his behalf. And he brought him the milk. And all of a sudden it dawned on this person, wait a second, hold the phone, not so simple. He said, is this milk permissible? Because remember we spoke about, the Mishnah says in the second Mechamah, second of the Zorah, that you have to have Yisroel Re'eu. You have to have a Jew watching the milking process. So we're used to, because we're always afraid, Gezeira, that maybe the guy threw in a little bit of trace for milk into the mix. So at the time when we spoke about this original halacha, so we mentioned that the Shach points out this is not a real chashash in the Torah. The odds that the guy put in milk, it looks like regular cow's milk. The whole thing is a little bit far-fetched. So the Shach says it was a chumim midrabanan. That means min haTorah, there really is no need to be chashash. There was a chumim midrabanan called that you require Yisroel Re'eu. So the time we spoke about the Machlokes Rav Moshe and others about whether Yisroel Re'eu means literally a Jew's got to be standing there, mamash, and watching and staring, but she's going to be watching the milk coming out of the cow. Or if you know, it's called Eidus Diabolor Re'eu. If you know for certain that this is kosher milk, then you don't have to have a Yisroel Re'eu mamash. That's the Machlokes. I say very often that everybody is machmir and chol Yisrael. Some people have that. They make a mistake. They say, oh, I'm not machmir and chol Yisrael. That's like saying I eat treif. Everyone's machmir and chol Yisrael. You just redefine chol Yisrael a little bit differently. You define chol Yisrael as being a Jew knows that it's cow's milk. How do I know it's cow's milk? Because the government told me. How does the government know? Because if anyone's going to break the laws and start to contaminate the milk, they're going to get fined for billions of dollars. So Yisrael knows that it's cow's milk. So everybody agrees that you have to have chol Yisrael. It's just a question, how do you define it? Do you find that you need a physical re'iyah? That's what the Mishnah describes. But the second Mishnah's chiddush, that's good enough to have Yisrael re'eu. But that's only true when you have at least chashi yediyah. You have it, there's the yediyah, there's the setup, there's the system. You know, a private guy's got his own farm, some guy's milking his cows, there's absolutely nothing stopping him from going to the farm down the road. I don't know whether the farm was going to oink oink, get a little bit of like chaz milk and mixing it in. So what are you relying on? What possible is the heter? So we're talking a little bit about, so he explained to me who the worker is. Who is the fellow who brought him the milk? So he said it wasn't the koi who brought him the milk. It was a Jew who brought him the milk. It was a Jew who did the milking. Said, okay, a Jew did the milking. Okay, so well, so now what's the shayla? So now it gets a little bit tricky. The Jew was borderline, not so posh at what the degree of observance this Jew had. It would be a from Jew who milks your cows, milks your goats, milks your sheep, brings your milk. So that's the mystery. So hey, but if you have somebody who is technically Jewish but not quite acting Jewish, that gets a little bit tricky. So this is the throwback to some of the things we spoke about in the past. Many of the machos or surahs that Chazal instituted when they set up the differentiated differences between Jews and goyim. He said, Lamoshal, if a Jew cooks the food's kosher. If a goy cooks the food's straight. If a Jew touches the wine, the wine's kosher. If a goy touches the wine's straight. If a Jew bakes the bread, it's kosher. If a goy bakes the bread, it's potentially straight. Well, how do you define somebody who's what's called a Yisrael Mumar? Somebody, they're Jewish, they're Jewish, but they're not observing mitzvahs legamre. If a guy, you know, once in a while, doesn't have a favor here and there. First, it speaks Lashon Hara, they don't become, the Gemara says that Kalakoi, so Rezik Ober, but Uzara. So you get angry at somebody, it doesn't mean that you trade off the wine. It doesn't mean Chayav Skila. When Chazal say Kih, so Kih means like Kih Sheshav, so Kih Chaf Adimian, it doesn't mean 100%. So but the problem is, what if a person is not a Shemesh Shabbos? So you have a Jew who's not a Shemesh Shabbos. So just as like in other areas of Halacha, we're not 100% sure what his status is vis-a-vis certain areas of Kashrus. So could one argue that he's no longer really Yisroel Re'eu, because he's not observing the mitzvahs like Yisroel, he's Dinuk Ha'akam, so to speak. If he's not Dinuk Yisroel anymore, so then does he have nemonis to say that the milk is kosher milk? And we have to say, even though again, the rov is kosher milk, because it's most probably 99% sure it's coming from the goats, not coming from farmer, it's good farm ground, down the lane, who's got his cat, who's got his chazer. So the overwhelming odds are that it's coming from the kosher goats. So was this considered to be Yisroel Re'eu? So this became less, of a kashrus issue and more of a mumar issue. So I questioned this person who called. They said, to what degree is this person not Shomer Shabbos? So he said to me that he came from home, this fellow. That's not good, because that means that he can't hide behind behind the Tirkish Nishpas. So he came from home. So he asked, what do you mean he's Bechal Shabbos? Mamish Bechal Shabbos. He said, listen, I can't vouch. We wouldn't hire him as a Mashgiach. I'm not vouching for Shomer Shabbos. On the other hand, I asked him one simple question. I said, if you were there, would he come driving into your property? You know he's Jewish. Would he come driving in on Shabbos and do Malachas for him? He said, no, he would for sure be embarrassed. He would never do such a thing. He would be sensitive to that. I said, good. So that's called the Not Bechal Shabbos Pesach. That's the Gemara Erevin says, that when you have a fellow who doesn't keep Shabbos, we know he doesn't keep Shabbos, but he's not brazen, he's not bold about it, he's embarrassed about it, we'll keep it on the hashash, doesn't want to offend the rabbi. So that's good enough. That's called a meal near Bechal Shabbos Mitzvah. The Gemara tells a story about there was a fellow who was carrying something on Shabbos, and there was no Eruv, and Rabbi Yudin Nasiya, Rabbi Nasiya was the grandson of Rabbi Nasiya, Rabbi Nasiya saw him carrying something, and then when the other fellow noticed that Rabbi Yudin Nasiya saw him carrying, we quickly shoved it into his pocket, threw it down, and tried to maneuver that the rabbi shouldn't see it. So Nasiya turns around to Shamus, this guy, and he says to him, it's good that he just did that, because that shows he's not a real Bechal Shabbos Pesach, that he still has a little bit of a year, a little bit of Vushim from the rabbi, that shows that he's not a Bechal Shabbos Pesach, therefore he's Dino Ki Yisrael. So he said here also, this fellow's Me'ikra Din, really Dino Ki Yisrael. If he's Dino Ki Yisrael, so then it's just a question of, are we really Cheshesh that he's going to mix? I mean, come on, we're not really a... See, what does he have to gain from going to get the Chazim up to give him? It's not a real concern. There's nothing real. The Shach says the whole thing is up to Chumra Chumra B'yama Midir Rabbanim. It's just that we have to fulfill the Dinah Mishnah of Yisrael Ra'eil. So I thought this is good enough. This is also Yisrael Ra'eil. So it's a strange quirk. We don't usually get those Shahs. The first one, he called me with the Shahs, prefaced by saying, Rabbi, you probably never got the Shahs before. I answered, you're right. I never did get the Shahs.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not knowledgeable enough to know about the effects of chaza milk into kosher over the average farmers. We have to tell. I don't know. I don't know. Ramesh was talking about a $1 billion industry with FDA inspectors coming in twice a week to check the dairy plants. I don't know. Ramesh was talking about a little 2x0 farm somewhere. Not sure. Right. That's another svar. Right. So the Prichodesh has a svar like that. The Prichodesh says that it could be that the whole takon of Yisrael Re'eu only makes sense with the chazarim around. If there's no chazar around for miles, so the Prichodesh says it's so unlikely, maybe that was never included. So first of all, I don't know. I have no idea. I couldn't vouch for the fact that there are no pigs across the road. I don't even know. If there are goats there, this didn't happen across the street. I mean, it happened up somewhere, in the farmland area. So I don't know. I'm not sure. Okay. I told the person if he's nervous, the camera haba, he doesn't want to get involved in, he can stick a camera into the barn. So there's a camera. This was a machlokes between some of the hashkochas in Eretz Yisrael. This is a big machlokes about, is that called Chol Yisrael? You don't have Yisrael Re'ehu, you have Yisrael Re'ehu in the video. So is that also considered to be Yisrael Re'ehu? Okay, anyway, back to that was the Cholapot, now back to the Basbu Cholapot. So if I'm not mistaken, I think, although maybe a week ago many of us were trying to observe the dinim of Basbu Cholav, or not violate the dinim of Basbu Cholav, 2 weeks ago we were still talking about the dinim of Basbu Cholav, particularly as it relates to waiting. It's interesting, we introduced that loch of Ocha Basbu Yechag Vina, waiting between fleshes and milchiks. So there was a Machlekes of Rishon and Rashi, and the Rambam what the reason for that din was. It's only a din of the Rabbanim, in the Torah. It's not the official. So there was a machlekes Rashi and the Rambam. Why Chazam made this takon in the first place? So according to Rashi, it was because of the taste in the mouth. And meat is very, a strong taste, so you can still taste it a few hours later. And the Rambam writes, it's a considered boss of Enashinayim. The postman have a discussion that let's say 6 hours have already passed, and Lamaisa, there still is boss of Shemeshul. Lamaisa, I know this boss of I can feel the piece of meat that's still stuck on my teeth. But according to the Rambam, apparently that's mutter. Because according to the Rambam, after 6 hours, the whole goal of the 6 hours was once it's more than 6 hours past when they ate the meat, it's already a bottle, it's already nifsal, it's already nifka, whatever it is, I don't have to worry about it. But according to Rashi, that the 6 hours goal was to clear out the taste, but the Gemara does talk about bosa shabbat. I mean, the Gemara does talk a little bit about it. According to Rashi, if there's bosa there, you have to take it out. That's what the poskim write. That if you know that you have a piece of meat there, you have to yank it out. And you don't become fleshy for another 6 hours after that. You have to make sure you get that. It just happened about a week ago or so. I had some piece of meat. It must have been some good thick meat from some smorgasbord somewhere. And the next morning, I wanted to have some milk. The mom said it was 14 hours later, and I knew for a fact that was the piece of meat. So I had to yank it out. Don't tell the dentist how often I floss. I had to find some floss, something to get the piece out. Otherwise, I'd still be fleshy 3 weeks later. So you have to just be cognizant of that. Usually, it doesn't happen. Once in a while, it happens. Anyway, back to this story. So the halacha is clearly that ochel basar yechol gvina. We mentioned 2 weeks ago that Chazal give two different ways of gauging that you've reached the point of post ochel basar. Ochel basar, I ate basar last week. I can't eat milchiks for next month. So obviously, there's some cutoff point. So the Gemara spoke about two different types of cutoff points. One sugya, the Gemara talks about the kinuach v'adach, about washing out your mouth with different ways, either with solids, with liquids, with both, with either. That was one sugya. And then another sugya, the Gemara talks about waiting a certain amount of time, misu'udu l'su'uda. And what a major machlekes rishonim, what the answer to that question is, how come we speak about both? So some rishonim Tosis held that's either or, and the Rambam says that they talk about two different cases, one's talking about from meat to milk, one's talking about from milk to milk, etc. So we have different shitas which set the stage for different opinions in Shulchan Aruch as to just how long one has to wait. So if I'm not mistaken, I think we left off two weeks ago, last year, with the basic sheet of the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch quotes basically the sheet of the Rambam, that one has to wait kishei shows. So that's the, I don't want to say the absolute universal standard minhag today, but that's the overwhelmingly standard minhag today in terms of waiting 6 hours. That's the Rambam's version of ochel basar yechol gvina. When the Gemara says bisud l'suda, so the Rambam interprets that to mean the time of Suda is Bizman Chazal, at least for the Tamil Chachamim, that Suda Rishona was close to Chatzos, and Shnia was around dark time or so, so approximately 6 hours between. So that was the standard sheet. How did that become exactly the standard sheet? So the Shulchan Aruch quotes that as the Rambam. That's not a great surprise. The Sfarim always, to the best of my knowledge, again, I could be wrong, maybe there are some other opinions in the Sephardic communities, but I think the standard Sephardic Pesach is 6 hours, and that has become the standard, again, for most people, the Ashkenazi communities as well, even though that wasn't always that way. That's clearly that it wasn't always that way, but by the days of the Shach, right, and the Shach writes that all B'nai Torah, anyone who has I forgot what the year says, Rechat or Ruchat Torah, maybe a question about the word. Either you smell like Torah, you have the wind of Torah, something like that. You have Torah in you, so the Shach writes, this is the correct practice. Everybody should wait there for 6 hours. But notwithstanding the fact that the Shach in the 1600s is signing off very, very strong, and that has become almost predominantly the Ashkenazi practice today, there was a different version, there was a different view in Ashkenazi communities, not the one that we're familiar with about the 3 hours. It was a totally different view. I think that's what we left off last time. That was the view that the Rambam quotes. So the Rambam quotes a view that existed and it was practiced in his day, and it sounds like it was almost standard in many, many Ashkenazi communities, was to only refrain for 1 hour. Ochel basar yechol gvina means for 1 hour. Some of you are still familiar with that custom because that custom is still practiced in very, very small groups of people, particularly people from descendants from Amsterdam, from the Holland area of Europe, still have that practice ad hayyizah. But back in the days of Ramon, the 1500s, that was a very, very prevalent minhag in many Ashkenazi communities to wait for 1 hour. It was one of my early Shabbosos in Paramus, where there was a bar mitzvah, it was Pashas Vayera, and I spoke with Ibn Chamayah to give a shiur about waiting to place chicks and milchiks, Avim Avinu and the Malachim, do it, you don't wait before, no, yeah. I gave a whole shiur about it, and I spoke a little bit about this minhag of the Ramon, about an hour, and I wasn't the zalz on the minhag, I highlight the fact this minhag fell out of use, and almost nobody in Kleisel has this minhag anymore. Even though one time it was a fairly prevalent minhag, and I explained where the minhag came from, what's it based on, those who disagreed, whether they disagreed, etc. So little did I know at the time that the Baal Simcha was from Holland originally. He had been born in Amsterdam, and so was the rest of his family, who were all there for the bar mitzvah. So here I have 3/4 of the people, one such a big shul, 3/4 of the people who are listening to the Shia came from Amsterdam. I'm getting up, the young rabbi's getting up and rattling about how nobody in Kleisel has this minhag anymore. So it didn't go over very well, but all's well there. We still left as friends. Anyway, so I'm looking around here. I don't see too many Dutch people wearing wooden shoes these days. I don't see too many people from Holland, and therefore I could say straight with a straight face, most people don't have this. So where will the minhag come from? So strangely enough, the minhag is actually a chumrah. It sounds like the biggest clue under the sun. It's actually a chumrah. It's chumrah based on the following. It seems to be based on a combination of factors that we spoke about in the previous year. If you remember, the Rabbeinu Tam had a very, very lenient version of what Mis'ud L'Suda meant. Rabbeinu Tam said, it just means you bench, finish. So one Shabbat, so I had a gewaldic lunch, so full-fledged 16-course lunch with all the meats galore, a bench, and then I said ice cream. Not part of ice cream, the real ice cream. You know, 5 minutes later, sure, bench. Wait, now, okay, you want to make it a little bit? I went down to 2 o'clock. Mincha, I'm back by 2:05. This is the joke, okay? And I'm ready to roll, I'm ready to have milachik dessert. So the Rabbi Tam said that's perfectly okay. Achol basi achol gvini. Yeah, you're good to go. But then the Ramah was a little bit weird, a little bit nervous about that. So remember last 2 weeks ago we said that the Sami Shad was saying that it's either or, that either you wait or you clean your mouth. So Ramah writes, so clean your mouth also. If you clean your mouth also and you bench, so then you have two tzedakim machos. It's a shtickel smeg smeger. Maybe those sheetahs will say benching is good enough. Even in terms of love, benching is not good enough, but maybe washing out your mouth, cleaning your mouth is good enough. But see if those two things, everything should be good. So where did the hour come from? The hour is a chumrah. Me'ikam ikam adin, the Ramah says, you bench, clean out your mouth, and you can have ice cream 5 minutes later. So why do you have to wait an hour? It's based on the Zohar. Shteit says in the Zohar that you have to be careful not to eat basar gvina besuda chada, that's like the Gemara says, uveshaita chada, in 1 hour. So it's a lashon of the Zohar. In the same hour, whatever that means, in the world of the Zohar, you're not allowed to eat meat and milk at the same hour. In fact, that Zohar was the source of another minute, we'll talk about that as we go on, about waiting for milk to meat. That possibility also has potential roots in that Zohar also. So comes the Ramon says, you know, the SSAs, let's at least... we'll throw in the Zohar also as a buffer. So the Iker, based on the Olam of the Talmud Bavli, based on the Lomdos of the Rishonim and the Gemara, so it sounds like the Ramah is willing to be Mekel, a Sveik Sveika, that as long as you benched, and as long as you wash and clean out your mouth, those two factors alone are really sufficient, a Sveik Sveika, and then the SSAs will throw in an hour also. The Ramah writes, if that minig existed in Europe, and he says, it's not the greatest minig, he says, maybe one should do it more machna, but he says that you get the impression that I'm off, but that was a fairly standard minig. So again, as we said, that minig has almost or totally fallen by the wayside. The only minig, other minig besides 6 hours that has survived is the 3-hour minig, and that's the minig that we don't really know where it came from. That doesn't have any muck or in Svarim, at least per se. We mentioned, I think, 2 weeks ago that it may be based on the fact that they ate smaller meals in Germany. I think we mentioned that tomorrow. They ate smaller meals, so they held suda, depends on the culture. The problem is that's what it's based on. So then it should become longer in America, so we don't eat little snacks every hour in the hour. Well, maybe some of us shouldn't be eating every hour in the hour. Depends whether you're working at home, working from work, whatever the case may be. So the bottom line is there were 3 official minhagim that exist in Klal today. There's the 6-hour minhag, there's the 3-hour minhag, and there's a theory the 1-hour minhag. What should a person's minhag be? So a person in this area, so many say one has a right to follow one's father, whatever one's father, grandfather was. What if a person doesn't have a minhag of what they don't really know, their parents weren't from? So a lot of them minhagim, that's a question in general about minhagim. Let's say a person's father wasn't from, his grandfather was from, but he knows his great-great-grandfather was from. So he has to go tres amesim on the minhagim from Europe from 6 generations ago. So many people, you know, he doesn't know. So things that are totally unmimic, he's allowed to basically adopt whatever the more standard minhagim are. So in this area, so I tell people that unless they have a clear-cut messiah, that their family minhag is 3 hours or 1 hour, so they should adopt the 6-hour minhag. That's the universal, almost universal minhag in Klal Yisrael today. One should adopt the 6-hour minhag. Whether one can shave away at that a little bit, and kishay shows, and into the 6 hour. Probably if you learn in the Tevari Rakot or something, you know, so then, or like what, so then you can discuss, as we mentioned 2 weeks ago. But if you don't have any of those hanogas of shaving away from 6 hours, you follow the 6 hours like our grandparents followed, that they counted literally 6 hours on the clock. That's the fanniest, I think. Even this whole halacha, macha basa, halacha vina, has a lot of potential nuances to it as to what exactly is considered to be basa for these purposes and whether this halacha goes the other way around to some degree. So let's try to go through some of the more common scenarios that play out. So one of the most common shouts is, does this carry over to chicken? Does this carry over to oaf? So we already know that basa, behem and basa, oaf are different. Is there any reason to believe that some of these halachas are different? So there is a very cryptic Gemara that appears in the 8th Bekel of Sefer Schulin. The Gemara quotes a Brice that says, "Oof u'gvinu necholam ba'apikoren." that chicken and cheese can be eaten by apikor. What does apikor mean? Like hefkeros. It means apikorsis. It's also all the same word, epicurean, from Greek. It's all the same words. It means no bounds, no limits. Everyone just does whatever they want. So ofugvina nechon epicurean sounds like the whole bit doesn't apply to ofugvina. So you have chicken. You're off the bench. You don't have to clean your mouth. If you ate chicken, you can have milk right away. That's the simple reading of the Gemara. So on that Gemara, Taisus writes that he said, we're looking around our communities, little Shabbat does it again. Who in the world does it? Who does it? What in the world? How are you talking? The Gemara says, it's Tetagom, of the meaning of the Torah, and you've shown my role. And Taisus writes that nobody in their right mind has ever done such a thing. So what's going on? So Taisus has a whole Shabbat. Taisus explains that that Bryce in the Gemara is Shalaki Halacha. What was Shalaki Halacha? Based on what? So tells this Akasha, why should it be that we should be more maker from chicken than meat? Like, what's that based on? The Taz says it must be a throwback to the opinion that Pesar Of is on a midrabbanim. We said this when we opened up the shul with Bas V'chalav, that Min HaTorah, according to many opinions, was fashion kudiba chalavima. It doesn't have to be literally a goat. It has to be the Bas of Hema Torah, so it could be a sheep, it could be a goat, it could be a cow. But it has to be Bessar Behema. If it's Bessar Of, it's chicken, duck, it's turkey, you know, those kinds of things. So those are at worst only meant to Rabbanim. So Taisa suggests that's what the Brisa says. It's you can be Bekel. It's like a shwist, like zero a little bit. You can tell me that I can't eat chicken and then have ice cream. So what's going to go wrong? A gazera that if I eat chicken and then have ice cream, next thing I know is I'm going to eat chicken and milk together. And if I eat chicken and milk cooked together, what's so terrible? It's on the Rabbanon anyway. So it's a Rabbanon, not a Rabbanon, not a Rabbanon. It's a Gezeiros, a Gezeiros, 100 times over Gezeiros, a Gezeiros. We have to be very careful. When Chazal make Gezeiros, you have to be careful not to overdo it. That's what Rashi writes, that when the Gemara says, Ein gozer Gezeiros, Gezeiros, that means that we're not supposed to be gozer Gezeiros. Not just the Chazal didn't think it was necessary. It's wrong to be gozer Gezeiros, Gezeiros, because the whole idea of making Gezeiros is really a Chiddush. I would have thought that's well, Tosif, you know, that's not Eron mitzvah to the Torah. So the Torah says, Asu b'shmeres b'shmarti, you know, you have to make gezeiros. Susi agla Torah. So it has to make sense. It has to be realistic. If you're making gezeiros on top of gezeiros, that gezeiros they have to prevent you from doing 15 derabbanans, that's too far removed, and that's not right. That's not appropriate. So that's what Tosif says here also, that the stomach, this chumr of ocha basli echubina, it's such a strange thing because it's something that everybody knows. Okay? Every 3-year-old kid already knows you have to wait from meat to milk. It's something which is really a chiddush. It's a chumrah. Chazal made the chumrah, but it's really, really above and beyond what we would have expected. We spoke about this a couple of weeks ago in Rosh. Why you find so many chumrahs in Bas V'chalav? But this gezeira derabbanan b'chol bas nechagvina, according to Taisus, was only said on Bessar Behem and not on Bessar Of, but Bessar Of is on the derabbanan. So that's the first effort of Taisus. Then Taisus continues and says, but now, says Taisus, we happen to know, we paskin, says Taisus, that Bessar Of is their Isa. How did Taisus know that? They had a definition from the Sugya. They thought that Bessar Of was really their Isa. So now we understand full well why we don't follow this school of eating chicken and ice cream together. That sheet in the Gemara, the Eladi, chicken and ice cream together, I mean, not literally together, one, you know, off the way, Ochol Basar Of is Mutal Lechol Gvina. So that was only said according to the Man Diyom, that Pesar Of is the Rabbanan. We, who pass, is the Raisa, so therefore everything is different. That's how Tosus presents the Minig Yisrael. When the Gemara says it's Mutter, and everybody knows that it's also. So this Tosus is really a tremendous Chiddush on multiple levels. First of all, Tosus is assuming that Pesar Of is the Raisa, which the Rambam says that's a violation of Tosif. Remember, we said the Rambam says this is the ultimate the Rabbanan. Nobody was, if you say this is the Raisa, according to the Rambam, the Balei Tosus violated, it says, joke, Balei Tosus violated Balei Tosif. They added on the Tzatar. So the Shulchan Aruch, we can't pass like this Tosus. Because in Shulchan Aruch, we pass him Sar Ofas on him in the Rabbanon, so we can't go down the road of this Tosus. And then there's another problem with this Tosus. The other problem with Tosus is that who says that's the reason why Chazal differentiated between meat and chicken? And the Gemara says, Ochel Basel Yechel Gvina, but Ochel Besar Of Yechel Gvina. How do you know the reason is the Raisa of the Rabbanon? Tosus quotes a different reason, Lagamre, they go for a bit of time. That maybe the reason is because Besar Of is not as strong as Besar Behemoth. It doesn't have such a powerful taste. It doesn't have such a... Maybe it doesn't have a stick meat. Maybe it doesn't get stuck in your teeth as much. So Besar Of is different from Besar Behemoth, not for halakhic reasons. It's different the same way it's different for cholesterol reasons. It's different for dental reasons. It's different for taste reasons. It's different. And therefore, all the reasons that Chazal instituted, Ochol Basar Behemoth, maybe don't apply to Besar Of. If that's the case, and so then that has nothing to do with their ice versus their Rabbanan. So Chazal said it's Mutter, so what are we doing? We're saying it's also. So this sheet of Tosus to defend Usually when we defend the Minig HaOlam, we're trying to defend the Kula. The Gemara says something else, and everyone's doing it anyway. So after, the Yataz is defending the Minig HaOlam Chumrah. The Gemara says it's Mutter, and nobody's doing it. So what's Pshat in the Minig HaOlam? Why are we being so religious? Is it super duper firmer than the days of Chazal? So there has to be another answer out there. Taisa Shita is not the only answer to this question. So the Rambam gives a totally different answer. The Rambam says this is part of his general view on this entire sugya. The Rambam held from 2 weeks ago that the answer to the question of why sometimes the Gemara says you have to go misud l'suda and sometimes the Gemara says you have to clean out your mouth. So the Rambam says the answer is not either or. The answer is to talk about two different things. Achol basar l'yachol gvina. How long do you have to wait? You have to wait misud l'suda. Why? Because you've got to make sure that basar shebein shinayim gets out or gets nifsal, whatever the case may be. So that's chayk l'yavar. What does the Gemara mean when it says you can just take a piece of cake and take a cup of juice and swish it around and shalma Yisrael? That's talking about the other way around. That's talking about you ate cheese and now you want to eat meat. So you ate cheese, you want to eat meat. You don't have to worry about misud l'suda. There's no basar shebein shinayim and there's no tam basar b'fiv. All those reasons don't apply. But you can't have a piece of cheese and then have a piece of meat. And then you can end up with cheese and meat at the same time. So the Rambam has a chiddush. The Rambam says that Ochel gvina yochel basar. The verse of the fish, Ochel gvina yochel basar, is not always true. That means Ochel gvina yochel basar if and when you cleaned your mouth out. So the Rambam says that chumrah of cleaning out your mouth, going from milchiks to fleishiks, that doesn't apply to chicken. That doesn't apply to the Sarah. That's what the Gemara said. Ochel gvina necholam b'yafikarin. It didn't mean ochel gvina. It meant gvina v'of. It meant if you have cheese first and then chicken afterwards, that's not the end of the world. But if you ate meat, says the Rambam, about the inflations, of course you're full inflations, a full 6 hours, habasa odedu ben shenem, I bring a raya brewer according to the Rambam, it has to be, this is this expression. Where was the posk habasa for the non-bukur? By the slav. Last we checked, the slav was a bird. It was flying around. So the slav was a bird, it was besarif, and the Torah still says habasa odedu ben shenem. So according to the Rambam, you can't say, it's a joke according to the Rambam to say, no, it doesn't apply to oath. The whole posk is by oath. So the bottom line is that there is this Gemara floating around that says chicken and cheese are different. We're not 100% sure what the Gemara was talking about. Was the Gemara talking about chicken and cheese, literally chicken and then going to cheese? And the Gemara said, but we don't pass that way. Well, the Gemara wasn't even talking about that topic. When all the dust settles, lemaisa, 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 for us, either based on the Torah, there's no difference in chicken and meat. The bottom line is, halach lemaisa is like the Minig Yisrael has been, and it's always been, the chicken and meat are equivalent for this, and one has, whatever you think waiting is, waiting has to occur, whatever you think cleaning, whatever your standards are in the sugya, so chicken and meat are the same. That's the Nimrim Begomru, that's the accepted Minig Klai Yisrael, but let's go back for a moment, back to the cheese meat saga. The idea of eating cheese first, eating milk first, and then going from there to eating meat. Is anything have to happen? Is there any separation whatsoever? So according to Tosfos said, Tosfos never heard of such a thing. Tosfos said, oh, the Gemara says, ochel basar yochel gvina, ochel gvina yochel basar. So if you eat cheese, you're allowed to eat meat. There's nothing you have to do possibly to separate between the two. So we're starting to see almost in between the lines that it's not so poshut. So the Rambam says, yeah, it's true, you don't have to wait. So you don't have to wait 6 hours. You have to clean out your mouth. You have to do something. And then we saw that Zohar, that the Rambam threw at us from left field, about Suda Chada. You can't have meat and milk in Suda Chada. Suda Chada or Rishaita Chada. You can't have them in the... And there the Zohar doesn't differentiate between which direction you're going. So we have a few ideas kind of floating around the background that lead us to believe, even though the Gemara seems to say that it's okay, even what seems to be a kulun the Gemara may not necessarily be true. So what is the din? So now we move the clock forward a couple hundred years to a Maaseh Shaya. It happened in the city of Rottenburg, a city in Germany. Depending on whether you're Jewish or not Jewish, you spell either Rottenburg or Rottenburg. So the Poskim brought down was Gittin, that the Goyish pronunciation was one way, the Jewish pronunciation was a different way. So the famous person from the city of Rottenburg was the Maharam in Rottenburg, the Menuhem in Rottenburg. He became almost like the conduit for all the Minhagi Ashkenaz. He was from the end of the period of the Balei HaTosfos, and he had he had many, many Choshev Tamidim, but the three most famous Tamidim that he had, one was the Rosh, one was the Mordechai, and the other one who wrote the Gros Maimonides. So, which is pretty much the three svarim that have brought to us down to the world of halacha, all the psacha from hundreds of years of the Balei HaTosfos. So he was the Rebbe of all of the above. So the Maamar Rittenberg was the one who wrote the famous Kin on Tisha B'Av Shali Yisroel Eish. He was a young man in France. He learned by Rabbi Yechimi Paris. He learned both by the Zarua in Vienna, and then he learned by Rabbi Yechimi Paris in Paris. It's not a great surprise. And he was present when the Gemaras were burnt in the 1200s by the Goyim in Paris. So he became like the Aviyah, Minhagim of the Ashkenazi communities. So Baram Rutenberg once had the following Maisa. He was once eating a piece of cheese. I didn't say he was having pizza, but it was a piece of cheese. And shortly afterwards, he had some meat to eat. And he realized as he's eating on the piece of meat that there was a piece of cheese that was stuck on his teeth. He felt very, very bad about it. We should have quoted a story from him. He felt very bad that it happened. Now, again, Mikra didn't do anything wrong. Mikra didn't. Achal Gvina, the Ashkenazi Rishon, for sure held. Achal Basa. You don't even have to clean your mouth. So he didn't do anything wrong. On the other hand, he felt very bad about it. Nice he ate. I mean, at the end of the day, he ate the Shechol Basa B'chol together. So he was makabel upon himself as a personal minig that he's not gonna. He's always gonna wait. He's gonna wait from having cheese to eating meat. So he's gonna always gonna wait. It's a personal chumrah that he accepted upon himself. So the question is now what? So sometimes when a rebbe accepts a personal minig, so sometimes the tamidim always want to emulate the rebbe. So all the young tamidim saw, rebbe waits. Oh, he must have a new shikol Torah. I'm sure everyone knew that it was because he had his cheese saga a few years before. So his Tamidim started to wait also. Who were his Tamidim? Rosh, Mordechai. It didn't take that long for, you tell the person, you have a Talmud, he has a Talmud. By within a generation or two, you had most of Ashkenazim, who are now all of a sudden had this idea of Ochal Gvina L'Yochal Bosom, somehow became this prevalent custom of not eating meat, not ready to eat meat right away. So there were different opinions in the early Acharonim about what we should do about this. Like, is this a good custom, bad custom? So the Maharshal was the vehemently opposed to this. The Maharshal was a relative of the Ramah. He was a contemporary of the Ramah. And he lived in the early 1500s. And he was vehemently opposed to this custom. He was so opposed to this custom that he writes that he thinks that this minig is a chashash of apikorsis. Which of the Yigulim Kor Hamunas is violating that word? Yeah, because so he writes like this. He says, you know, Barami Rutim is an Adam Gogol, Tzaddik, he said, Oilam, he wanted to accept upon himself a personal chumra, a guy can become a Nazir, a guy can become whatever. You want to take a personal Midas Chasidus on yourself, you can do whatever you want. But to make it that becomes, you know, Barami Rutim didn't tell his Tamid to do it, he didn't tell the whole world to do it. He had a personal minute, he had a bad experience, and he didn't want to get involved in this anymore. But for all the clients to start doing this, so he said, it's against the Gemara. The Gemara says, okay. The Gemara says, Achol Gvin Yachol Basar. So we're from it in the Amoraim. So the Maharshal says, that's a little bit of Kfirah. So that undermines the Messiah. That means we are Talmidim, Arabeim, the Talmud Babli, that's the Yesodah of all the Psacha, Rada. We spoke about this on the Friday, I spent 6 months talking about it. So for Ronin, everything we have, it's from the Chachmid Bavel. So we're going to be from it in them. He said, that's not right. You're not allowed to be from it in the Amoraim. Oh, so Kidneos. So one can argue that Kidneos was a situation that arose, a new situation that didn't exist in the times of Talmud Bavli, that they were planting rice next to wheat. So the Rabbanim in the Middle Ages realized that this is a Tzarech Hashah, so we have to have a minute. They were eating cheese and meat in the days of Chazal. Nothing changed from the days of Chazal to the days of Maamar Rutenberg, and the Amoraim weren't worried about it, so we have no right to institute Chumrah. When new situations arise that wasn't other than ask for them, then we have each base and every generation has to figure out what the Tzorchei Hashoah are. So that was the Maharshal's take on this. So others said, no, that this is the happy courses. Why? Because we see in the Gemara itself that this idea of Hachokas in the realm of Bas B'Cholav, there's a certain degree of personal choice to this. Normally, there are certain official formal Takanas Chachamim that are made, and there were certain formal Takanas Chachamim that were made, but Chazal left it up to meet his Chasidus. How do you see that? The Gemara tells a story about the Ma'ukfa. We mentioned a couple of weeks ago, but Ukfa says that his father used to wait, his father used to wait from Tvalesh to Milk, used to wait May's days, 24 hours. Can you imagine? I can't have my cereal and milk this morning because they had meat yesterday for lunch. I had children yesterday at 12 o'clock, so now I can't have milk at 8 o'clock this morning. That was what Ukfa used to, Ukfa's father used to follow. So what Ukfa says about himself, I'm not as strong as my father. So I don't know what I mean. If his father was doing was the real din, so why didn't he follow his father? The answer is his father wasn't doing what the Ikra din was. The Ikra Din was Misud Lusuda. The Ikra Din was much, much less than that. It's far than its own personal Mitzvah Chassidus. So, what do you mean Mitzvah Chassidus? Well, everyone does the free form. So it's not Bikurin. Everyone does whatever they want. So say, Adar Rechman, we see that Chazal built in here. So there is a little bit of a Mitzvah Chassidus area here. That it's not terrible. It's not bad to go above and beyond. You have personal reasons why you want to go above and beyond the call of duty. Maybe to throw back to the drasha from Tani Kona, Rabbi Kona a couple of weeks ago. Plus Mechalov somehow, the Torah itself is Machmer. We have in Chatzai Kona's base, if people have chumras galore, this one has his own shopping carts. You know, he doesn't use the regular shopping carts for Pesach. There's a special kasha shopping carts. This one won't touch food. If a bag of potatoes falls on the floor, it's a gezeira atu. Regular food falls on the floor, gezeira atu. That the stomach's on the floor. Yeah, people have galore personal midas chassidus in certain yarmen halacha. Okay, it's not the end of the world. Not so terrible. So that's what other Achronim wanted to defend this practice. So the Yesh v'Yesh. There were different opinions of the Achronim as to this practice. So this minhag that started back in the days of Rabbi Wittenberg has come down to us in a slightly different form. We have a little bit of a knesh, a little bit of a kunz on this minhag, that we've accepted this practice of Rabbi Wittenberg partially. We don't accept it totally, we accept it partially. Not every time you eat milchiks, you have to wait for X amount of time, but certain kinds of milchiks, certain kinds of cheeses, so we are a little bit more concerned with others. That leads to the whole issue of the hard cheese issue. So hopefully next week we'll try to pick it up on that. If you're any shadows come up during the week, go on the OU website for which are hard cheese, which are soft cheese, and you'll figure out the answer. Okay.